He wanted, he said, to seize the moment, and President Obama grabbed it early last night.
I'm not the first president to take up this cause, but I am determined to be the last. It has now been nearly a century since Theodore Roosevelt first called for health care reform. And ever since, nearly every president and Congress, whether Democrat or Republican, has attempted to meet this challenge in some way.
The buck or the Band-Aid stops here on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Thursday, September 10th. I'm Lynn Scherr in for John Hockenberry. Coming up this hour, cutting the plastic cord. Americans are paying off their credit cards. Get your chili pots ready. Oh, gosh, it's kickoff day for the NFL. And then how to avoid Big Brother at work. But first, good morning to our colleague, Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, in Detroit today at our member station, WDET. Todd, morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Lynn.
So I know you were working and you were listening last night. Was President Obama's speech last night effective enough to make him the last president to take up the health care cause?
Well, he certainly hopes so. He used sort of the classic Obama soaring rhetoric, really trying to make members of Congress, and I think the public, feel responsible for fixing this health care mess that we're in, appealing to people's sense of responsibility, maybe a little bit of shame, some inspiration using the memory of the late Senator Ted Kennedy. So if the president is going to be effective, it's going to be now. He was really pulling out the classic Obama campaign inspirational speech that we came to know in the campaign last year.
Okay, Todd Zwillick, stay with us. We're going to be back with you in just a moment. But first, everything you need to know this morning. In the headlines, South Carolina Republican Joe Wilson shocked legislators from both parties last night when he shouted, "You lie," during the president's address.
The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally. It's not true.
Representative Wilson issued a swift apology for his, quote, lack of civility. In the official GOP response to the president's speech, Louisiana representative and physician Charles Bustani said replacing family health care plans with a national model isn't the answer. Meanwhile, new data due out today on the number of uninsured Americans will add to the health care debate. 2 years ago, the Census Bureau found 46 million uninsured Americans. On Capitol Hill, Congress hears testimony today on how the SEC bungled investigations into Wall Street swindler Bernie Madoff's business. An SEC report says the agency failed in its investigation of 6 complaints about Madoff's business. Markets were up slightly yesterday. The Dow opens today at 95.47, S&P starts trade at 10.33, and the Nasdaq at 20.60. So, President Obama in Congress last night to give details of his health care reform plan. What do you think the president left out? What resonated with you the most? Where were you shaking your head?
Hi, my name is Russ Darrow. I'm from Wisconsin. I am an automobile dealer. I think President Obama sounded good. He's a great speaker, and I still am not convinced. I think President Obama is trying to do too much too fast, and I believe it's a genuine lack of trust in both the government running our insurance and also in President Obama himself.
What do you think? 877-8, my take.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
It's The Takeaway on WNYC in New York. Good morning. I'm Richard Hake. At 6:04, 60 degrees, cloudy skies in New York City. Attorney General Andrew Cuomo's report on improper political influence in the state police has prompted the governor to ask for the resignation of David Mack from his position as deputy chairman of the MTA and from his seat on the Port Authority. The report says during the Pataki years, the governor's security detail improperly inserted itself into criminal investigations centered on the Pataki campaign. Mack invoked the Fifth Amendment when Cuomo's investigators were looking into his tenure as a deputy superintendent of state police during the Pataki administration and has rejected the governor's call to step down. He said through a spokesman that he fully cooperated with the investigation and merely invoked his constitutional rights. In New Jersey, two former Jersey City officials have pleaded guilty to charges stemming from New Jersey's largest corruption sweep. Meyer Khalil, a former official with the Jersey City Zoning Board of Adjustment, and an aide, Guy Catrillo, admitted to accepting bribes from a government cooperating witness who was posing as a developer. Khalil and Catrillo are the first to plead guilty in a corruption and money laundering case involving 44 defendants. Well, Mayor Bloomberg is proud of the public schools, and his tone was especially optimistic on opening day while visiting PS 111 in Queens.
My friends, when I talk to them, my younger friends, and you say, you know, where are your kids going to school? It is not unusual to hear that they're going to public schools. They are proud that they're going to public schools, and, you know, they just think that the kids are getting a great education.
Meanwhile, enrollment numbers won't be available for weeks because schools are still registering new students.
WNYC is supported by Fisher & Phillips LLP, a national labor and employment law firm that represents employers in New Jersey, New York, and across the nation, on the web at laborlawyers.com.
Clouds this morning, showers later today. The sunrise this morning is at 6:31. It's WNYC at 6:06.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
I'm Lynn Scherr, in for John Hockenberry. And here's President Obama last night.
The time for bickering is over. The time for games has passed. Now is the season for action. Now is when we must bring the best ideas of both parties together and show the American people that we can still do what we were sent here to do. Now is the time to deliver on health care.
He could not have been more blunt or more emotional. President Obama laying down the gauntlet on the need for health care reform, putting his case to the American public before a rare joint session of Congress. This morning, the Takeaway's Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick joins us from member station WDET in Detroit to help analyze President Obama's speech. Morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, Lynn.
So it was a very fired up, very purposeful President Obama we saw and heard last night. What do you think? Did he get the job done?
He was fired up and very purposeful, and he had to be. You know, all of the reporting we've all been doing and hearing ever since August ended was, boy, the president really lost the message over August at all these town halls and loud screaming. So he really needed to come back in a strong way and regain the message. It was a very effective speech. I was in a room with a bunch of people here in Detroit, and they all responded very strongly to the president's speech. He used that classic Obama style, the soaring rhetoric. You heard it there in the cut. The time for bickering is over. This is the season for action. That those are the kind of words that sort of Obama has put his brand on that really tend to move people emotionally. Whether it moves the Congress legislatively is now the next test.
And Todd, he also talked about the fact that he wasn't going to waste people's time. Let's listen to that.
It's a plan that incorporates ideas from many of the people in this room tonight, Democrats and Republicans. And I will continue to seek common ground in the weeks ahead. If you come to me with a serious set of proposals, I will be there to listen. My door is always open. But know this, I will not waste time with those who have made the calculation that it's better politics to kill this plan than to improve it.
So, Todd, you know a lot about the Congress. Does this mean that the president wants to pass health care reform without the Republicans?
Well, I don't think that he wants to pass it without them, but what he says there is that he's willing to do it if he has to. And I think most of the people who hang around Capitol Hill and follow it closely saw that passage that you just played as a coded message telling Congress, my door is open. I want to do this in a bipartisan way. If I don't get bipartisan support enough to get to 60 in the Senate, I'm willing to do what's called the reconciliation process. We've talked about it before. It's a complicated Senate procedure, but the bottom line is you get to bypass the normal 60-vote requirement and pass health care with just 50 or 51 votes. And it would be a revolutionary they call it the nuclear option, phase two in the Senate. It would really blow up a lot of relationships in the Senate. You know, the president is is a guy who prides himself on good relationships, bringing people in.
And being bipartisan, as he has said all along.
That's exactly right. And by saying, I'm willing to do this without you, he's saying that attitude is over. In this case, I will go without you. I will press the red nuclear button if I have to.
One more thing, Todd, before we move on. I heard a few new things in the speech. He endorsed medical malpractice liability reform, and he talked about an insurance exchange.
An additional step we can take to keep insurance companies honest is by making a not-for-profit public option available in the insurance exchange. Let me be clear. It would only be an option for those who don't have insurance. No one would be forced to choose it. And it would not impact those of you who already have insurance.
Todd, just an option?
Well, he did. First of all, on medical malpractice, he didn't quite endorse reform. He didn't go that far. He did endorse some pilot projects to see if malpractice reform could work. Democrats don't like that, so that was throwing a bone to the Republicans. On the insurance exchange, it was, I think, the first time we've heard the president endorse that. That idea is in most of the bills, by the way, that are already on Capitol Hill. So a lot of the things that the president endorsed were borrowing from some of the things that are already on the Hill. So members of Congress wouldn't have been surprised by a lot of these proposals. Just real quickly, the president proposed to get rid of, you know, insurance companies' ability to keep you off the rolls for pre-existing conditions, called cherry picking in the industry. They can't drop you.
Right, a very popular notion.
Popular notion. They can't drop you if you get sick. That's called lemon dropping in the industry, cherry picking and lemon dropping. It's the first time the president himself has endorsed those things, but those ideas are in a lot of the bills already on Capitol Hill. So the president was putting his stamp on a lot of the things that are already circulating on the Hill. There was one other specific that we haven't heard before. The president has said before that he won't sign anything that increases the deficit. But what was new last night is that he said he's going to put some teeth on that. He wants language in the bill saying that if the expense of the program does go beyond the revenue, that they would have to do spending cuts. That would be in the law so that it can't increase the deficit even if Congress gets lazy.
Okay, Todd Zwillick, stay with us. We're also joined by David Herzenhorn, congressional correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. David, you were live blogging the speech yesterday evening. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Lynn.
Who was the president really talking to, David? Was he talking to voters, to us? Was he talking to the Dems on his side or not on his side? Was he talking to Republicans? What do you think?
Oh, this speech was aimed at multiple audiences, and it was very deft in that way. There were messages for everyone, for the American public, which is very uneasy about the proposed health care changes, and also for everybody in Congress, especially the Republicans. I mean, this was actually a very harsh and partisan speech, which in some ways the president got a gift in Congressman Joe Wilson from South Carolina rudely shouting, "You lie," because it showed the partisanship is even more bitter on the other side.
Let me interrupt you, David. Let's listen to those moments. First, you talk about this being a harsh speech, the president being very partisan. Let's listen to what the president had to say about one of the thoughts that's been out there.
Some of people's concerns have grown out of bogus claims spread by those whose only agenda is to kill reform at any cost. The best example is the claim made not just by radio and cable talk show hosts, but by prominent politicians, that we plan to set up panels of bureaucrats with the power to kill off senior citizens. Now, such a charge would be laughable if it weren't so cynical and irresponsible. It is a lie, plain and simple.
A lie. Has either of you ever heard the President of the United States talk to a joint session of Congress and call something from the other side a lie? Todd, David?
I'm not sure that I have, Lynn. Maybe David has it. What was really interesting when he said that, you know, it's very often in these speeches you look for David's been writing about the code, you know, the code that you can read from who applauds and who doesn't. And the Republican leadership, as I saw it, now I was watching on TV last night, sat with their arms folded and their hands in their laps when he said that, and the Democratic side just erupted. It may have been an embarrassing moment for some of them.
Go ahead, David.
And this is one where there's no doubt, right? The legislation is not in any way intended to kill off senior citizens. So the president was on firm ground there. But I would point to the very opening of his speech. You know, people overlooked it. It sounded a little bit like he was tooting his own horn and that of Democrats by talking about the stimulus program and how the economy seems to have stabilized. But in fact, that was a very pointed warning to the House Republicans. None of you voted for that economic stimulus package, not one of you. And now you're going to sit here and you're probably not going to applaud, as Todd's saying, for my health care proposals. But watch out. You know, the first thing seems to have worked. You know, be careful if you're not going to support the next one.
Well, his exact words were, we have pulled this economy back from the brink. So, David, what you're suggesting is, what you're saying is, the president was putting them on notice.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, let me pull up that. Let's listen to that other moment now, that other stunning moment in the speech. While the president was speaking, and to hear Joe Wilson, the Republican representative from South Carolina, shout back at him.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally.
You lie, is what he said. And if you are watching, you saw Speaker Pelosi turn white. She was furious. David, tell me what was going on.
It was a surprise and stunning eruption. these things just don't happen. It goes against all of the protocol of these kinds of speeches, no matter who is president, no matter who's serving in Congress. The White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, was there in the audience and quickly afterward turned to some senior Republicans in the House saying, you know, he better apologize. And indeed, you know, quickly there was an apology. And in some ways that, you know, it lent a boost to the president in his effort to describe August with all the protests and rhetoric around the town hall meetings as more about noise than about substantive.
Okay, David Herzenhorn, thanks for your help. Todd Zwillick, we'll talk to you later. Thanks both. More coming up on The President in Healthcare.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.